shit. Oh my god.
That was a big one.
This episode.
I wrote,
this episode is so dramatic.
There's so much. Like, all the things that I remember from the show happened.
Yeah, I think that was the whole show in one episode.
Yeah, it was like every problem. It wasn't just like focused on one. It was like focused on everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel good about it.
I feel great about it.
I already know it's going to be rated higher and that we should have changed our rating scale.
Yeah, our scale is way off because I feel like, well, it can be funny. Maybe like if it's a really good episode, we rate higher than a 5.
Okay, yeah. And we just, it'll eventually extend to a 10.
Yeah, exactly.
That's perfect. Okay, so, hi.
Hi.
We are broadcasting from Bree's house tonight.
Yay!
Because there apparently was an apocalyptic storm that came through, and I have no power.
I kind of slept through it. I don't know how. I got 2 texts, one from you and one from my coworker in the morning that was like, oh my god, are you okay, and do you have power? And I was like, what did I miss? What went down last night?
Well, because I woke up, and I knew I had been freaked out, and I know you live alone, and not even with Marge, and I was like, I wonder if Bree's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I did, I woke up when it started, and I went to the bathroom, and I had a thought of, like, I should go to the basement, but my basement's very scary.
Scarier than if you were in the storm.
Yeah, and I was just like, I just turned my TV back on and, like, passed out.
Do you have to go outside to get to the basement?
No, I have a... Like, from my front entryway, you can either go up the stairs to my apartment or down to the basement.
Oh, okay,
Another door. So, I could have. But it's a Michigan basement. Like, real creepy.
Spiders galore.
Yeah. Well, I haven't really seen spiders down there, but, like, cobwebs and, like...
Yeah, yeah. No good. No. Yeah, so it was crazy. So, I have no power, so Bree is taking care of me and giving me cold wine because everything in my fridge is gonna...
Yeah, it's not gonna be good.
No, I'm gonna have to empty... Which is like means I have to clean my fridge.
Which is the worst. I hate cleaning fridges.
But they're gross.
Yeah.
But it's
just
okay,
don't
I fly.
Open it.
But it's okay, I fly out tomorrow.
So Jake will have to clean
the
fridge.
So yeah, I'm gonna write him a note.
Yep, he'll have to... Because you said you guys aren't supposed to get power for another like 2 days.
A couple days.
Which is crazy.
I've never had that happen. I always like have that... It happens in the town, but, like, not to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh, that sucks.
I know. Well, because I was like, I have power. I'm fine. And my coworker was like, do you want me to pick you up coffee this morning? I was like, nope. Coffee maker's working fine. Like, but then when I drove, like, all the street lights were out. Or, like, the traffic lights.
They still are.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, I must have just been on the right part of the grid that, like, I didn't lose power right here.
Yeah, and I thought you might have lost it later, like, within there fixing things, but here we are.
Yeah, just still having power. No air conditioning. And we had to shut the windows and turn off the fan for you lovely fans.
So we're just...
Shut off the fan for you lovely fans.
So we're going to be, like, drenched, but you won't be able to see that, so that's great.
It doesn't matter. We're drinking wine. It's fine.
It is. When are we not?
I guess that's true. We drink wine.
Okay, so I feel like I just want to bring this up. You have a cool story to share. Your poem.
Oh.
I want you to talk about, like, the whole thing behind it, because I think
again,
it's so cool.
But I did talk. I told us about it.
Oh, yeah, you did.
All content could be found on the screen.
That was my phone. I don't know why it said that. So, yeah, just to bring it back. Like, I had talked about, I think, like, 2 episodes ago about how I had ordered this poem from this woman in Seattle. If you don't remember the story, go back to episode 10, and I talk about it. I finally got the poem in the mail, and so I said I'd read it, and it was, like, everything I needed in that moment. Like, I came home from work and it had been like a long day and I was just tired and feeling annoyed with myself. And I saw this, like, you know when you see like mail in your mailbox and you know that it's special mail, not
yes.
like bill mail?
Yes.
I was like, ooh, fun envelope. And then I was like, oh, it's this poem. So it's quite short, but I'll just read it. So the title is called Pilgrimage to the Peak of Love, and love is written in red. In, like, all capitals. Okay. So it says, solitary wanderer seeking truth in silent valleys that hold the self in tenderness. Pillar of mercy upholding the temple as halls within ring silent with the echo of eternity. Strength rising from rooted ground as broad the base of the mountain stands. Love of self as the key to the kingdom, for selfless love is there from birthed. Alone, yet always beneath that white golden sun, so brightly guiding the way home.
Oh,
so beautiful.
Read that line, the kingdom.
Love of self as the key to the kingdom, for selfless love is there from birthed.
And that is like, that was the line that I like latched onto, and it's so beautiful. Even the title.
Yeah, it's just gorgeous. Well, and then I started a book club, and we haven't really done it because people are very busy, but I finished the book, and it was Anne Lamott's new book, Hallelujah Anyway, and it's all about mercy, and so I'm trying to like, okay, there goes an ambulance, I've been thinking a lot about the word mercy. So I even love that, like, I just felt like, oh, this, she just knows everything that's going on in my life somehow. Pillar of mercy upholding the temple as halls within ring silent with the echo of eternity. I was like, what? How? Yeah.
And you told her you wanted it, or how did...
All I really said was, like, I am in my 20s. I am, like, coming into myself as a woman, as a feminist, and I chose the word love for 2017 to work on. I was like, I didn't even get into why, like, instead of doing like a New Year's resolution, I was like, I just chose this word, love, and I'm trying to implement self-love into my life. So anything about that. And then it was just like this perfect poem for who I am and where I'm at in my life.
It's so cool too, because you know how people like if they get tattoos or whatever, it's like song lyrics or something, but it's like something that's contrived about something else that they're putting meaning to. This is cool because this is like an original.
It's just mine.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's an original piece of art, and it's to you.
So I would suggest everyone should do that.
Yeah. I want to do that so bad. What is the name of the person?
Her name is M7 Bremner. And I can't remember, actually, I can tell you. Hold on, it will take me 2 seconds to tell you what her thing is called. It is called yourtopicyourprice.com.
Yourtopicyourprice.com. Oh my god. Okay, so yeah, everyone should do that.
Yeah, it's a poem store. So M7 Bremner was the poet. There's multiple poets,
right?
But she's the poet. If you do request her and you do request a poem, you should say that I sent you to her, just because I told her that my sister had sent me to her, and she's like, oh my gosh, I remember her. Granted, it was like 4 days prior, but it's just cool. And she was just really gracious. And
how is it delivered to you? Because you write it off your phone, but isn't it
it's typewriter. She uses a typewriter,
right?
And so it's, I'll show you after this. Okay. I'll show you the actual like piece of paper just on a typewriter, and she just mails it in an envelope.
Okay, so it's not digital. I just didn't, because you're...
No, but she also, if you do order online, she said she can send you a digital copy if you'd like.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So, that was really awesome. Fun little thing.
Yeah, I hope everyone does that. I'm trying to be like, how could we do a Grace one?
I know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I know what I'm getting Abby for her birthday next year, and it's going to have to do with Grey's Anatomy and poem. Yep.
So take that, M7.
Yeah, take it. What's up?
Well, and I'm not going to like get into this, but it was interesting that this episode was called Make Me Lose Control, and it was all about like everyone losing control of the situations, when like I was literally telling you that my therapy this morning was about how I don't like when I'm not in control.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cool, universe.
Yeah.
Like, one more reminder. And so I just like, we both almost cried like a couple times in this one. And I just... And honestly, I don't even think it's because I was so much, like, relating it to my life. It's just, like, these characters are developed now, and, like...
And you feel for them.
Yeah.
You feel like they're your friends or people in your life. I mean, think about how many years we've spent with these characters.
Oh, my God. That's probably true.
It's, like, how you feel about, like, Harry Potter.
And I've spent...
I feel that way about, like, Gilmore Girls.
I've spent more time with these characters than my husband.
Wow. Wow.
By 2 years only, which is saying a lot, but still.
Yeah. That's, like, really crazy to put that into perspective.
Which, maybe it's just 1 hour date a week, but some days it's like, 12 hours a week, depending on how much I binge.
It would be crazy to meet these people in real life, hopefully someday.
Oh, that would be sad, though.
But, like, it would be, because you would want them to be the characters,
and they're not. Yeah, I don't think I'd want to meet any of them, to be honest. I think I'd want to meet Shonda Rhimes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe, but, like, I've seen them on interviews, and it is a little, like, sad to be like, oh, you're not...
who I thought you were.
The only one who I feel like, well, actually, I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I...
Especially, I feel, yeah, I've seen, like, Meredith on interviews, and she's a lot more, like, peppy and happy, which,
yeah.
Obviously, her character is, like, dark and twisty.
Yeah.
But then Christina's character, too, is not at all like Christina Yang, and that makes me sad.
Oh, what's her real name?
Sandra Oh.
Oh, yeah. You saw, did you see on her Instagram recently with Canada's...
birthday?
Yeah, that she was, like, hosting things for it, because she's Canadian.
Oh, she hides her Canadian accent.
Yeah, real well.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I just want to talk about it.
I do too. I mean, I don't really have much more to say except for it's 7,000 fucking degrees. That's literally what my car told me today. It said, Brie, your car or outside is 7,000
fucking degrees. And you don't have air in your car.
I don't have air in my car. I don't have air in my apartment, so I have no relief.
See, ever. My relief is dry. Like, here I drove with it, like, on full blast.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll take a cold shower, or sometimes I'll just go splash cold water on my face. But actually, for the most part, my apartment, even though it's pretty cool, and I mean, it's hot, but, like, there's a nice cross breeze and stuff in here. I don't know. But I don't know. There is something about hot weather. Like, I like kind of being miserable and sweating and then, like, being able to take a colder shower and then, like, feel relief for, like, 15 minutes and then be like, oh, God, I got to get back in the shower.
I also like being able to, like, not wear any clothes.
Yeah, I'm wearing nothing right now. Just in the nude.
I like that. That's fun. Well, you never know. You guys would never know.
You would never know. So... leave that up to your imagination, listeners.
First funny thing, when we went to play this episode, Brie was on a different one, and it, like...
A different season, and I didn't realize.
This is, like, kind of spoiler alert.
It's fine.
Mixed Steamy, I'll say that so you don't know his real name. A character comes out, and we're like, ooh! And then we're like, oh, wait, there's no way that this could be happening at this time.
I didn't realize I was on a completely different season, so we clicked, like, episode 3, and he just, like, walks out in the first scene, and we were like... I was like, I can't believe it's so soon that we meet this character. No, turns out I was on, like, season 9 or something. So,
so yeah. So
Make Me Lose Control, season 2, episode 3.
Which I would like to open with asking, should we try running?
Oh, you know what we should try? My sister is doing this, Couch to 5K.
Oh, yeah, I've done that app.
Oh,
no, I mean, like, I had it at one point.
The only thing is, like, my ankle is still really messed up, but I would like to do it, but no, not really, because I don't... Running. I would love to be a runner. I would love to, like, get to the point where I could run so much to get, like, a runner's high, but I, like...
I can never get there.
I am huffing and puffing going up and down my stairs, so...
Yeah, and also, like, it would be nice to, if I liked running so that I don't need a gym membership, I can just go outside and use what the world gave me.
I did actually think... Actually, last night, I was laying in bed thinking about running, and I was thinking about running in my neighborhood, but then I thought about, literally, to the left, to the right, and behind me are all huge hills. Like, really, really big hills. So I was like, I could run around my block. Like, but then I was like, that'd be weird if I just kept running around my block.
You should run to Highland Park, run down that hill, and then just sprint.
Oh, yeah, I could
or just
do that.
Run in the grass. Do, like, a loop, and then come up. That'd probably be, like, at least a mile.
Yeah. And that's all I need.
There you go. That's all you need.
I figured it out.
Unless it's a swamp and you sink.
I think it is a little swampy, and I also think people might die there.
Well, maybe we should not try that.
Yeah.
What was your first note?
My first note was Meredith's jogging pants are hilarious.
I wrote, can we talk about their outfits?
Yeah, like, not good at all.
First of all, I know even if it's cold, I feel like they're in medical school. They have money to buy athleisure clothes.
Yeah.
Granted, this was a while ago before athleisure was, like, a real thing.
Yeah.
So maybe people didn't wear leggings then. They might not have. Leggings were not actually, I don't think, around.
Yeah, maybe they were. I feel like runners. Well, but they're not runners. They were, like,
right. They're just,
yeah, they're just trying to jog.
A dad sweatshirt and baggy striped
pants. Yeah, and, like, Christina had, like, a scarf on, too, or something. It was just bad. Also, did you notice that Meredith had an iPod attached to her hip?
Oh, it was an iPod.
Yeah, do you remember iPods?
Yeah, we had...
I mean, of course you do.
My brother had the original one, though, which had 4 buttons on the top. It was like... And the buttons, like, glowed up.
Glowed up.
They glue red. That's what glowed?
They glowed red.
They were glowing red. And then the wheel, the click wheel.
Yeah, I have one that, I don't know where it is, but it's, like, thick, and it has a ton of gigs on it.
So many gigs.
So, but I don't even know how, I know what happened to it. It like the battery's messed up, so it has to be plugged in to turn on. Which defeats
the purpose of an iPod. Yeah,
and I don't think I have the right cord anymore.
They just don't really work. They're slow too. Like, we're so used to the speeds of our phones.
Yeah.
That, like, I've turned one on and it's like, okay, come on.
But what's sad is I have a lot of, like, random music on there that I don't have anymore.
Right, like you stole it from friends' computers and stuff.
Yeah. It was like, had a ton of music and I'm sad about that. I miss that.
Well, the great thing is there are now things that have all the music in the world.
I know, but I forget about what songs there were. Like, you would open and be like, oh my god, I forgot about this song. Like, I'd like to do that one.
Oh, I know. Same with
all my, write them all down.
All my old playlists that I had in high school. And, like, yeah, it was usually songs. Like, it was always one song. It wasn't, like, in a whole album.
Oh, yeah.
It was just, like, your favorite songs.
Well, that's funny because what I do with Spotify is if I like just one song and I don't have, like, albums on a playlist, I just put it on this one playlist. It's called Feelings. So I have, like, 300 songs on my Feelings playlist. Ooh. Which, that's a lot of feelings.
Isn't that interesting, though? I bet if you, like, scroll up to the beginning of it, you, like, remember when you listen to those songs incessantly. Yeah. I have ones like that, too. Mine is called The Playlist.
We're really original. But, feelings like, I can and scroll up
and be like, oh, yeah, I'm sick of that song now because I played it
over and over again. Yeah.
So, Slutty Mistress and Pregnant Whore.
Yeah, I wrote that, too.
Also, when they were like, if we cry, this will, like, help us feel better. And then Christine is like, do you want to cry now? The way she says it is like, now? Like, she's like, I don't want to do that. Like,
I love that. She's like, no, I don't want to feel emotions in front of you right now.
Also, I was going to Google in a second, like, there's a phrase George says, sorry to skip ahead, but make the lamb stop screaming.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Like, a car kind of drove past when that was happening, so.
Also, when I'm searching this on my computer, it's in all caps on accident. Oh, it's from Silence of the Lambs.
I thought that would make sense. Yeah.
It also, okay, when I Google make the lamb stop screaming, the first thing that shows up is Grey's Anatomy Make Me Lose Control. Like that episode.
No way.
The second thing is lamb screaming.
People probably didn't know what it would, and wow.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. So, yeah, so George was referencing that.
Dude, I want to talk about this hard. Izzy and Alex, you called it, dude.
Yeah, and granted, like, we've seen it, but I didn't think it was going to happen that fast.
No, it was so fast when, like, all of a sudden after the, like, intro scene, we always have an intro scene of something random.
Right.
We're in the hospital, and, like, the next scene is Izzy and Alex, like, laughing together. Like, really chumming it up.
She really just had to see him as a human once.
Yeah, only once.
And that's all it took. Yes, it'll be interesting to see where that
goes.
Also, because I like that we don't have to go in order of the episode, we can kind of bounce around.
Yeah.
Talking about Alex, there was a scene...
at the end?
With him and Meredith.
Meredith?
Yeah.
I loved that.
I wrote Alex and Mare being friends, and then she says to Alex, what kind of person wishes their mom has cancer? And I said this felt like a current season, because like they had a moment as friends.
I wrote Alex and Meredith, beginning of a friendship. Like,
right.
And they're, spoiler alert, like, I'm sorry, listeners, fuck it. Like, they're friends now.
Yeah,
so it's not that big of a deal that I say.
And they're both still on the show. Yeah, so that scene, like, literally, to me, that shows that Shonda is a really good writer, or whoever wrote that episode, because that is how they still interact now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, him being like, you know, you can talk to me if you want. No one likes me. I won't be able to, they won't believe me.
Felt very brother-sister.
Yes, which is how I think they always are. And I think they also would get along because, like, Meredith's not as much of a D-bag as him, but she's still not, like, a happy-go-lucky.
No.
And he isn't either.
No, so, they're both dark. Like, they both have shit in their past, and so, like, they get it, but they, like, push each other to be better.
Right. And I like, too, that they don't... He also understands that she doesn't want to talk about it. Like, that's the kind of... We kind of have that sometimes where it's like, do you want to talk about it?
Oh, no? We've had that so many
times. Okay, let's move on then.
Let's, like, have a drink then.
Yeah, right. And so I just... Oh, that made me really happy.
Yeah.
I actually liked Alex this episode. Even though he's a loser sometimes.
Who is a loser?
Alex. I mean, he's like... Whatever.
Okay. I wrote this and I said this out loud to you. I want to talk about Burke a second. I wrote... Burke is always making that face, which is a non-face. It's just like this stare that he does.
It's like a meerkat. Like, I picture, because it always just zooms in on just his head, and it's always when things are happening and he's watching things happen.
Like,
and it's like his head pops up. I wish I'm going to video this for video. We're going to do the Burke non-face.
Okay.
Video Burke face. And, like, he, like, pops up, and then he, like, looks right, left.
With his eyes.
facial expression.
He doesn't move his head.
It's just as if he has a scrub cap on or scrub or a mouth guard thing on, but he doesn't.
He's acting with his eyes, but there's just nothing going on the bottom portion of his face. It's a non-face. And he does it all the time.
Yes.
He did it last episode.
Yeah.
Like when he was everywhere. Yeah. Like overseeing things. He was non-facing, overseeing everything.
And now when it's almost like once we said that, I couldn't stop laughing every time he showed up because he's just observing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like he doesn't show emotion very well either. Well, he does with Christina. He loses shit over her.
Oh, but, shit.
But like other than that, he's very robotic.
Yeah. He is.
Should we keep on Burke?
Yeah. Let's stick with Burke.
Okay, so, yeah, he gave up chiefdom.
I love that we call it chiefdom.
Which he was pretty happy to do.
Sidebar on chiefdom.
Oh, yes.
I wrote, there's a photo of an elk and a statue of a bear in chief's office.
Oh.
What does this mean? Like, I never thought of chief as, like, an outdoorsy type. And there is an episode where they, like, go outdoors, and he is not. So why does he have
I would
in his
say
office?
It's probably like he doesn't seem like the guy who'd even decorate his office. He'd do whatever
was it
there.
Adele?
And it could be, but I think they live in Seattle, so it's like
you think,
or I know. I think this show takes place in Seattle. No, I think that it's like, I feel like it's like stock image. You know, when you're in a doctor's office and it's like.
But no, but like his office is like personalized.
Right, but I feel like he isn't the kind of person that would personalize it.
But why is there a bear statue on his desk? On his desk. It's not even just in the office. It's on his desk. Like, he looks at that every day and he's like,
I feel like his assistant, that one older woman, probably like.
No, I feel like he personally picked it out.
All right, we're going to go with your story.
But I want to know why.
I mean, Seattle.
So he like appreciates where he lives, but
probably.
He doesn't like to like be outside.
No, he doesn't want. He just likes to look at it from a distance.
From a distance.
And also maybe he grew up in Chicago and he's a Bears fan.
There we go. Figured it out. That's exactly what it is.
Also, Chief, his hats.
All of the hats.
I feel
this
like
episode.
This episode was like, we need a little comedic relief.
No, I wrote that there was a ton of comedic relief.
There was, actually.
Yeah, like in really intense moments.
But that Chief's hat and just like everyone having their own judgments on it was really funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I thought he did it. I didn't know why, but then I remembered he had brain surgery and scar and whatever.
Yeah, you thought he was trying to, like, hide his
hair or something. I didn't know what was going on.
That he doesn't have, because he's had brain surgery.
But the best was Burke telling him that the hat was a little too pimpin'.
Yeah.
I don't know what he said. Something about being a pimp.
And, like, he just took it off. He was like,
Meanwhile, pretty sure he hung it on a rack that had another hat similar.
Pretty sure he hung it on the bear. He put it on the bear statue. Back to Burke, though.
Oh, yes.
That was just a little sidebar. I don't know. Should we continue? I know we're not going in order, but I'm a little overwhelmed. There's so much to talk about.
Right, so
episode.
I almost think we should start with one character and go through, but not Burke, because he...
No, not Burke. Let's talk about Christina and, like, what happened to her in this episode, because this was really big.
Yes. So, okay, first, on that Christina thing, this is before the big thing happens. I thought this was weird. Oh, this is about Meredith, though. It's all intertwined.
I know.
I don't know what it is.
There's so... I know.
Maybe we should just go in order.
No, yeah. Let's talk about Alice Gray.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I was going. Okay, so... All right, guys. We're starting with Alice Gray. So, this epic scene. It's like, to me, it is like a scene that I can...
It's
picture.
Iconic.
Yeah, of Alice coming in, thrashing and whatever, and tied to the thing, and...
Yeah,
I'm not using words.
Her gurney. Her hospital bed. I wrote Alice Gray... Fuck, god damn it, I'm so uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not what you want to...
She's just screaming like, amateurs, amateurs, you're all amateurs.
And you know Meredith is like...
She starts to cower.
Just, yeah.
Like, because no, we have to remember, no one knows that Ellis Gray
has
Alzheimer's. We think she's on sabbatical.
Right.
Like, she's
and,
just
And not only
research.
Apparently has Alzheimer's, but also is like, can be manic. And like, go off on this and like... And, oh, it's so sad. Christina's reading the chart, and she's explaining it.
She doesn't want to say her name.
And because Meredith is standing over there, and Bailey's like, what's the name?
Yeah. And then, well, it's funny, too, because, like, they're, like, right before this, they're like, we got to get to the pit. Someone coming up with diverticulitis.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, everyone starts running, and quite, like, someone in my life has had diverticulitis. It sucks.
Wait,
it hurts.
What is it?
It's like, what happens, like, in your intestines or colon area, like, like food or particles or thing can get stuck in it, and so it's super painful, and you get these little like divots, and then you get really sick, and
you sound like a doctor.
Thank you. Well, it's just because I know someone who has struggled with it.
Yeah.
And it's super, super painful, but I don't think it's something like, you know, there's like someone has had a brain aneurysm or something, you know.
So it's
I found that funny. There was like all five of them. Like, you also don't need five interns for someone who has diverticulitis.
Right. Also, my heart dropped when she came out. Like, that feeling, though, like, I literally was like, oh, like, it was just like.
Well, we had said last episode, we're like, we haven't heard or seen Alice Gray in a while. And yeah. I honestly didn't remember that she was in this episode.
Right.
But I knew that we were going to have to see her soon. And then in the beginning of the episode when they were going previously, they showed a scene with her and I was like, shit.
Here she comes.
Yeah.
So basically all of the interns, once they find out it's Ellis, they're all trying to like sympathize. They're like attacking Meredith.
Yeah.
Which is, I was like, that scene, I get the point of it, but it also annoys me because, like, Christina is trying to, like, comfort her and is like, I had someone that died of, you know. Yeah. And I was like, Christina's character would not try, she would leave Meredith alone.
Or, yeah.
Like, I just thought that was
but maybe that's early Christina. Like.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Yeah,
I just feel like she was being like George.
Yeah, it didn't feel like her character.
No,
something she would do.
Which, it's fine. They don't dwell on it. But it annoyed me.
Yeah.
I had to bring it up.
I understand.
And Bailey.
And, yeah, I just...
Bailey's, like, mother hen this episode.
Yeah, George hugging Bailey when... Well, first, right before that, so Bailey's, like, pretty much to the interns,
divvying
like, get the fuck out, like, and, yeah, telling them which each one is on, and, like, none of them want what they get because they're all, like, paired with people that make them uncomfortable, and Christina ends up being put on with Preston, or Burke.
Yeah.
And, Bailey goes, I thought I was your resident, not your hostess. And I love, like, Bailey teaching moment. Just, like, so quick, fuck you, do what I tell you. And then Christina's like, thank you so much, I would love to work with you.
Yeah.
And runs away.
Yeah, and, yeah, her saying that, yes, I would love to work with Dr. Burke.
Yeah. Yeah.
But also, then, yeah, so she assigns George, she says to Dr. Gray, yeah, and George is like, oh, thank you. And I think Meredith just needs a friend.
Yeah.
And she's like, and then he realizes it's Ellis.
Yeah, and he's, which George ends up looking like Ellis's Thatch. We learn about Meredith's dad a little bit. Thatcher, Ellis.
Biological father.
Yeah.
And looks like George.
Yeah, which
and Ellis doesn't like him.
Yeah, and also George doesn't handle it very well that he looks like.
Yeah, because it's his crush. Imagine your, like, biggest love, and then you find out you look identical to their parent.
Yeah, no. Not good. You're not going to have a good chance with that.
Yeah, so no. So, Alice the whole time, like, thinks she's in her heyday of being a resident.
Yep.
And I just love, too, another thing, like, Karev might be an asshole, but he's good with patience. And, like, he totally goes in there and handles it, pretends to be like a doctor and just
pretends
like,
to be a doctor.
Yeah, sorry. Like pretends to be like one that she doesn't know and like introduces himself. And I just feel like that's, yeah. Like
he handled it really well.
Right.
It seemed like he had worked with people who had Alzheimer's.
Yes.
Which we don't, he hasn't. No. We don't have any like background.
I think he also just wanted to show up George.
Oh yeah, definitely. Meredith ends up being on Scott because there's a lot of, like, emotional things. I love, too, that Bailey was like, you know, like, I understand if you can't work today. Like, but didn't do it in, like, a really... Bailey has these moments where, like, she's showing a bit of empathy. She's showing she's a human being and, like, can understand someone else's emotions. But she doesn't make them feel uncomfortable with it and still, like, acts professionally. Like, I understand if you can't do this. I don't know. I just like how she communicates.
She's almost like the boss you'd want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like kind of no bullshit and like I'm not here to really talk this out with you. But then she can be really gentle in times. I don't know. We saw a lot of like, I feel like we saw a broad spectrum of Bailey in this episode that I really loved.
Yeah. We both cried a little few times with Bailey. Yeah. So I think that was great. And she works Scott. Which then Meredith is just everywhere anyways. She's not.
Yeah. Meredith was on clipboards today.
Yeah. Clipboards.
Yeah.
Meredith also opens up to Chief about her mom.
Ah, the Chief.
The Chief.
Oh, the Chief.
And, like, we don't know why Chief has such a...
We don't know.
But, like, he definitely, when she says, she hands over her mother's chart to him. He definitely, like, is hit hard. Mm-hmm. And so, and we don't know why. And it is kind of hard to read his emotion. Like, all you can tell is that it's affecting him.
Yeah. And, like, that he definitely knows Ellis.
Because we learned they were working together at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, but it seems more than just, like,
Right.
co-workers.
Right. And, well, if we're still talking about Ellis, we learned that at the end when she, well, Dr. Burke is doing surgery on her and, or doing something, preparing
her. Like a biopsy.
Yeah, and I think she's on, like, drugs, and she says something like, oh, Richard, so good to see you. Thatch is driving me crazy.
Yeah, so we're kind of like,
what does that mean?
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see also. Cause
how
I feel
that,
like,
unfolds.
Because, I mean, that's Meredith's backstory, too, because it's her mom. Mm-hmm. It's yeah, so that'll be really interesting.
Then we have, like, so much is jam-packed in this. So
I think one of the last things I want to say about Alice, too, just is she's a great actress.
Oh, my God. She's phenomenal.
She's so angry and, like, just
she is
hateable. Think, like, you hate her also.
Yeah. And you already start to feel bad for Meredith. Like, it gets worse.
Yeah.
But, like, we're setting some things up for, like, oh, you got some serious mommy issues here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I understand that she has Alzheimer's, but, like, it's not just that. Like, she's showcasing, because she has Alzheimer's, like, she's showcasing, like, some things that are not so great in your life and your past. And
right.
Yeah.
And there's
no filter.
There's that moment, so, like, Meredith goes up to Derek, I think, to, like, tell, like, I remember exactly what she tells him, but she says, for the first time, she says, Dr. Shepherd, and he turns around so fast, and the look he gives Meredith, I wrote, like, is so, like,
I wrote something, loving eyes.
Yeah, it's, like, soft eyes.
Yeah, so soft. He does this a lot with her.
Yeah, like, she's a little.
I feel like we should name this, because there's a particular look that he gives Meredith when she's, like, in an emotional state. And it happens throughout all of the seasons. And so what do we want to name it? Because it is a thing. It's like a Bailey teaching moment. It's not like loving eyes.
It's not sympathy. Maybe empathy. It's like a...
Yeah, but it's like a...
Ooh, what should we call it? The...
Sparkle eyes?
Ooh, sparkle eyes.
Because
it's like, yeah, he's got like, almost like his eyes are glistening.
Yeah, and it's almost like there's a teardrop in it, like when she's talking. It's sparkle eyes.
I love it.
Sparkle eyes, slight smirk.
Sparkle eyes, slight smirk. Sell. I can't do it.
Sess.
Close enough, yeah. So, yeah, he does that.
Yeah, S-E-S-S.
Yes.
Sparkle eyes, slight smirk.
And it makes
So, yeah, Meredith ends up asking Derek if she needs to scrub in on something. She can't just do scotch. She has to get her mind off of things. And he's just like, I have a...
Would you like in?
You're scribbling. Sparkle eyes. Ouch. Yeah.
Yeah, so that part...
And there, honestly, this is all about, like, the main cast, because there's only one other patient besides Ellis, and it's the blushing patient. But there's, like... There's really no patience in this.
Right, which is great, which is probably why I liked it.
Yeah.
Also, not yet. I want to talk on that patient, the blushing patient.
Yeah,
I feel like she brings up some worldly problems.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just... And so, I guess we're not talking about Derek. Derek has some decisions to make.
Oh, my God. So much happens to Derek in this episode, too.
Can you imagine...
This is only episode 3 of this
season. Can you imagine being Derek?
No.
Like...
No.
Like, what happened in this one to me is so, like, I can... And this, I remember this, like, and I think this is why they do it, an internal struggle. They make you like Addison enough that you don't root for her. Like, you want Meredith and Derek, mm-hmm. but you are okay. Like, you're like, well, let's see how this goes.
Like, yeah, like, let's play this option out as well.
Mm-hmm. Right, because that scene with him and Addison, like, I was like, she's right. Like, they have chemistry still. Like,
yeah, he's... like at the end of the episode they're like it's so awkward because Izzy is like put on their service
right.
and they're like Addison calls Derek honey and things are super awkward and they're talking about sheets and stuff, and as the episode progresses then it like comes to this big moment where like this baby that they're working on ends up whatever, none of this really matters, but the baby like made it through the night and
right.
Derek is like, wow, I didn't think this would happen, and then Addison like gives Derek all, like, three options of, like, we could, like...
I liked her three options a lot.
Well, I don't remember
what
they were.
It was, you can forgive me, and we can move back and never pretend this never happened.
Yeah.
You can forgive me, but bring it up all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And make me feel bad, which that, to me, is, like, the choice that most couples would probably make.
Yep.
And live a miserable life.
Yep.
And see, we will make out.
Yeah, and then they make out for a second.
She did look great in her pink scrubs and her, like, messy red hair.
I'm like, I was surprised because I expected Derek to be like, no.
Yeah, it
was, you know, there was no pushback, just kind of like,
I feel like he's very weak today.
Yeah.
It was a weak day.
Yeah, it was a hard day for him.
I also think the title of this episode should be, "This is a very bad day."
Yeah, oh, I know, I love that.
Because George says that, and that's how I felt about this episode.
That's what I was coming back to, like, I said there was a lot of, like, comical relief. Like, that happened.
I think there had to be.
Right, because it was so heavy that you just needed moments. There was another one. I don't really remember what it is. But, like, oh, I know. When Meredith ends up, like, telling off Derek in the, when they're scrubbing out. And Alex was like, dude, that was rough. Like, right after this really intense emotional moment, it was just like, there was so much emotion in this episode. If you didn't have these, like, random characters saying things.
Well, and it's funny, that line almost seemed out of, I was like, that just ruined my moment. Like, I was, because I like to feel things hard. And, like, but I know that if a whole show was like that, it would be, like, exhausting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the dude, that was rough.
Yeah.
I do like that Meredith, though. So I think a lot of this episode was about bringing things to the surface also and, like, not hiding your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that Meredith was like, Alex doesn't care. You're like, you're worried about Alex knowing about us? Like, Alex, do you care about us? Like, and he was like, no. Like, I just like that she just brought it to the surface and was like,
like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Once again, though, this is not really that important, but, like, it blows my mind. Like, I know they are more than just, like, boss and, like, subordinate, but it's ballsy to, like, talk like that to your boss, even if you've had a sexual relationship, to talk to your boss like that in front of someone else.
Right.
Like, good for you, Meredith, but, like, he could easily be like, I'm going to the chief with this, like, this is, you could, but he's not that man.
No, he can't. He wouldn't. That man. No. I don't know who would. Bailey.
Bailey might, maybe.
Bailey wouldn't let anyone talk to her like that.
No, never. I don't think she'd go to the chief, but, like, no. You just know when Bailey looks at you in the wrong way that you shut your mouth.
So, speaking of the, like, unless, did you have anything on that moment with Meredith and Derek? I don't want to skip across that.
No, I don't think much. It was, I got GGBs in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Because she says, stop talking to me like you're my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And she, like, because he, like, touches her. He, like...
Yeah, he, like, grabs her. And she's been having a bad day. And you know he wants to, like, be supportive of her. But she's kind of like, you're not the person who gets to support me. So fuck you.
Right.
Leave me alone. I'm having a bad day.
Right.
But also, he did her a favor.
Yeah, he let her into the surgery.
Yeah.
Has she already forgotten?
Yeah. Before we go to the next,
Yeah.
Can we take a quick break?
Yep. We will see you on the flip side. I hate it.
Woo! Good break.
I'm wearing less clothes.
I am still not wearing clothes and poured more wine. On the break, got a text message from my sister Catherine, and I just had to share it with all you listeners. There's a photo of two box sets of Grey's Anatomy seasons, and it says, when your internet doesn't work and you were in the middle of, oops, spoiler alert, when you were in the middle of the plane crash episode, old school measures must be taken. Old MacBook and DVDs because you never set up your DVD player. All I can say is thank goodness I own all the seasons.
Is that Catherine?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Amazing. I wish I knew how to call in.
Oh, I know. We could call
her
right
surprise
now. Yeah. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
I think I kind of know, but it has to be on Skype.
Oh, it does?
For the recording program that I use.
Oh.
This is a pointless conversation for all of you. But anyways, so...
We'll figure it out. So, do you want to talk about the blushing patient yet?
Yes. Okay, so we were talking about Meredith, like, saying in front of Derek, like, do you think Alex cares? He doesn't care how we feel. And I think the blushing patient, like, her speech about, like, how like, think of all the times, all the secrets you hold. People don't know what you think. Mm-hmm. Like, that is yours to hold. And, like, can you imagine living a life where everyone knows how you're feeling about everyone?
Shut the fuck up. I wrote, can you imagine having to show all your emotions all the time? I wrote to ask you that, and you just said the same thing.
I actually wrote, oh, but then I also wrote, maybe we should always know when we like each other. Because I thought that was, that was a little thought. Like, wouldn't it be, what would the world be if, like,
Well, I talked last episode about how it was so nice with that Tinder date, how he told me he didn't really like me, you
right,
know? Like,
right.
Wouldn't it be nice if we just knew that someone liked you and they didn't like you, and then you could just move on with your life accordingly?
Right. Right. But then also I wrote, can't feel anything without the whole world knowing. Like,
that would suck.
Yeah, and like when she said, I can't get angry, I can't, like,
I can't have a secret.
Right.
Like, yeah. That would be a miserable life.
That was a touch. I remember that patient because it's like a very, like, I don't know, I just remember it. And like, that is, I think I would take the risks.
I would. I would definitely get the surgery.
Yeah.
Because it's not a little bit of blushing. I mean, it's very obvious.
Yeah, and she has to fan herself so she, like, feels hot.
It's the worst blushing.
I haven't done
it in a while. But when you do, it's, what is the science behind it?
I don't know. That'd be really interesting to look up. I feel like it happens to me, not like when I like someone. When it happens to me is like,
when you do something embarrassing.
Yeah, like really embarrassing. But I can't think of the last time it happened.
Yeah. But like, what? Like, what's the evolutionary purpose of blushing?
Well, it's like it's something to do with your heart rate and blood rushing somewhere to, like,
yeah.
I don't know. Is it like an erection, but for your face?
That could be, but what would be the purpose of, like, maybe you're being, like, too flamboyant and like, hey, look at me, and then it's like you need to calm down so you blush so you like cower a bit.
I think it just has to do with something in your brain, like your brain sends signals.
Well, I know, but like I'm talking like, you know, in evolution, like we were cavemen and we did things like,
why did it start?
Yeah, why did we start blushing?
I don't know.
We'll have to.
Now all I can think of it is like when you're aroused, a guy gets an erection and all the blood rushes to his penis. What about?
That is an erection.
For those of you that didn't know, but like, what if it's like you give a feeling and so all the blood rushes to your head?
That could be.
And then you gotta get it down. Gotta fan it out.
I'm gonna do research on
gotta this. Gotta fan it out.
This is what my dissertation is gonna be on. Blushing.
That's how you're gonna get into grad school.
Yeah. With it. I'm gonna be like, I record a podcast and I'm like really interested in researching blushing.
Also, the color blush is not the color of when your face blushes.
No, I have a friend who always says she turns a special shade of mauve.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
I guess that's really all I had to say about her. It just seemed like a profound idea.
Yeah, and there wasn't much with, like, patience in this episode, and I feel like she had a bit, like, a big role and a big, like, monologue about it. And
yeah, and it was, like, to...
It fit well in the episode.
I think it mirrored what everyone else was going through in a physical way.
Like, yeah, that's a great point.
And also, I like that moment when Meredith, like, can't breathe, or she goes into the... And shuts her... You see her go into a room and shut the door, and then it's her, that patient's room, and the patient's like, are you okay? And that was just like, she's not.
No, she's not okay.
Ugh, she's not.
Oh, well, she says multiple times in the episode, I'm fine. Can't tell you how many times I use that phrase. I'm fine.
Yeah. Oh, ooh.
Which knows.
How you just said it makes my skin crawl, because I know you're not.
If yeah,
you're
gonna say I'm it sure like I've that. Said it to you before.
Yeah. I'm fine.
Oh,
guys hate that. Everyone hates that phrase.
I know. I don't like using that phrase. But sometimes you don't know how else to communicate.
Right. And also, I like that Alex says to her, you've used that word so many times today, it doesn't sound like a word. That was cute in that moment.
Yeah.
Okay, we have not talked about Christina.
I was going to say, can we talk about Christina
I think
now?
It is time.
Okay.
First of all, the song when she's about to pass out
you
is a great
song.
Song. I was going to look it up when we're done. They did it a dance to it, and So You Think You Can Dance a long time ago, and I've just grown attached.
You loved that show.
I did. It was very moving.
Is it still on?
Yeah, it's very different on the format, though, so I don't really watch it.
But do you watch America's Got Talent?
I watch the trending clips.
Oh. This season's pretty good.
Oh, I should watch it.
I watched it at my parents' house. Oh, I can watch it at your house.
Yeah,
at
Hulu.
Oh, this is going to be...
It's
going to
be great.
Guys,
we're going to
have a spin-off podcast of America's Got Talent.
I just want to be Simon.
You do.
Well, I like his, like, I like his new character that he plays. Like, I feel like on American Idol, he was mean.
Oh, he was very mean.
I feel like he's charming.
He is. On this. Yeah.
Like, I think he's just, someone gave him some Xanax, and he just doesn't care anymore.
I've watched it a couple times with my mom, and I told her, I was like, is it weird that I think Simon is, like, a good-looking man?
Yeah, I never used to think that.
And she was like, eh. But I think, like, his, like, deep V white shirts, and I think he's very attractive.
That shows that, because I don't think he looks like he's aged, but we have, like, we've aged, and, like, now we're like, oh, yeah, I'd do that.
Yeah, I would. I would totally do Simon.
This is how we know that we're old.
I'm so old.
What about Randy?
Randy Jackson? Yeah. It's got to be a no for me, dog. It's got to be a no for me.
Got to be a no for me, dog.
Oh, God. Fuck Randy.
That's how we should get a token, like, I'm going to press the golden button.
Yeah.
And then got to be a no for me, dog, on how we rate the episodes.
Yes. Which, maybe it's just those two things. And we just
Oh, my gosh. We should do a roundup at the end of the season where we pick one episode that would go get the golden ticket.
And one would be got to be no for me, dog.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
Okay. That'll be fun. All right. So.
Anyway.
Christina. I want you to start. Yeah. Because you like her more than. I mean, I love her, but you are like her cheerleader.
I am her cheerleader. Okay, I just thought she was hilarious in the beginning with the jogging and shit. She was hilarious with Bailey. I mean, we already touched on those things. But, like, I remember, so she's in surgery with Burke, and she starts, like, sweating, and she can't really answer his questions. And I, like, I've seen this episode a lot, and so I remember what happened. But I was like, oh, shit, like, shit's about to get real. She ends up falling down, and Burke's response to Christina falling is so sweet. Like, what do we know? What do we know?
Because
what's going on?
Before that, so when he's asking her questions, he's saying, Dr. Yang.
Yeah.
Dr. Yang. And as soon as she falls, he goes, Christina. And I wrote that down because that is telling.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that's after Christina falls, that's when George says, finds out that she's, like, pregnant, that this is a very bad day. but we find out that she has an extra uterine pregnancy.
Ectopic pregnancy.
Oh, is that what it is called?
But yeah.
Ectopic.
Or it's like when it's outside the uterus.
Yeah. So it's like in the fallopian tube, right? Right.
And so all of her friends now know that she's pregnant. And I like that Izzy is like going into a big talk to Bailey about how you think you know someone and then you just don't. And then it's like moments later she finds out.
She collapses in the ER.
And Christina grabs her and is like, Izzy, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, I'm seven weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
So they run and grab Addison. Addison's about to leave. Like, she's like, Derek is calling me Satan and like, I need to leave. And Bailey's like, be discreet, Izzy, but like, go get Addison Shepherd. And
of course, he's with Chief
and George, so everyone knows everything. So Addison is like, you know, she collapsed, why do you need me? And Izzy's just silent, being discreet. And then George is like, Christina's pregnant. So then we like go to. She's like, we're losing her. And they ask, like, do you know who the father is?
They say, yeah, have you told the father? Is there someone we should contact?
Yeah. And then,
which at first I was like, what? Who cares who the father? But then I was like, oh, they just need to know if there's someone to call.
Yeah. And then they were like, she's bleeding out. Like, and so how attached is she to the pregnancy? Which we know she's not, but.
And then.
Bailey.
Yeah, I was going to say. And then they're in surgery, and Addison is like, all right, I got it from here. Dr. Bailey, like, you can go. And she's, like, holding Christina's head.
Just, like, stroking it.
Yeah, and she says, I'm fine right here.
Yeah, like,
oh.
Just, like, so, like, mama bear.
Yeah.
Like, and then I actually love that Bailey doesn't let Meredith come into surgery.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, like, she is naked, she's exposed, like, she's a patient, and you're gonna have to get through, you know, she's, like, really, and then she's gentle with Meredith when Meredith is like, I made her go jogging.
Right, is it my fault?
And Bailey's like, no, this is how it started. But, like, I love that she kind of protects Christina, and it's like, even though you guys are best friends, because they're not, like, they're good friends, but they're just becoming good friends, and it's just, like, no, we're giving her privacy and I will stand by her.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Oh, such a good. Oh,
honestly, so, rewatching this is making me appreciate Bailey so much more. Like, I feel like she deserves better storylines now.
Yeah.
But, like, she's so great.
I got GGBs when she said, like, I'm fine right where I am. Like,
yeah.
And I got teary eyed.
I also like that Meredith says to Bailey, right now, just in this moment, I hate you.
Yeah.
Like,
and Bailey's like,
I can take it.
Yeah, I can take it. And she can. And then Christina wakes up from surgery and Bailey's still there.
Yeah.
She's just like by her side.
Was Christina awake during that surgery?
No, okay. She was out. But then she wakes up and is like, what happened? Turns out Christina lost one of her fallopian tubes.
And Christina, we don't hear her talk again after this. She just turns her head. Even when I think all the interns are in there in that last scene.
No, she doesn't say
she's
anything.
Just laying there. Okay, Burke, though. So Burke is at the surgical... Or he wants to go check on her, but he gets called in to do Ellis's biopsy.
Yeah, because Richard doesn't get cleared for surgery.
Right.
Because Derek doesn't allow it.
Right. Which
we missed a big part that Meredith ends up finding out that her mom may have liver cancer. In surgery and walks out and leaves.
Right, because she has to sign the papers to allow them to do a biopsy. But I think, so like Burke doesn't know what's going on since she collapsed.
No.
And then there's that moment where he stands in front of the board and sees that it says whatever pregnancy.
Yeah, it says like exploratory surgery, like something pregnancy. And he does not have a non-face there.
No, he's so sad.
He's so, and he looks like, he looks panicked. Like, what do I do? Like, where do I go? Should I go to... Because nobody knows that...
They are seeing each other.
Yeah, so he can't just be super concerned about it because people would be weirded out by that.
Right,
you know?
And also he... I think he finally understands, like, everything that just happened in the past 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Her saying we have something to talk about. Like, I think everything just hit him.
Yeah. And how do you fucking process that?
Right, like he broke up with her.
He actually makes a face. He actually expresses something on his face. That's how he processes it. I got GGBs then, though, too. Like, when he did the whole looking around thing, but with, like,
his sad
bottom
eyes.
Part of his face doing something. Like,
he was acting.
I love that he was. I wrote that one happy thing happens in this episode, because it's mostly sad, is... the one patient doesn't blush anymore.
Yeah, she
that was like the one happy thing.
Right.
It was like a da-da-da-da music happy. And then a lot of other like sad stuff.
Yeah, and with the sad stuff, Burke, also we see him totally lose it at the end. There's a strange patient that we don't know.
It was who he was working on when Christina collapsed in the OR. That was that patient.
Okay, and he's telling the guy that what had happened was like, he's like, I couldn't tell if he was laughing, but I realized he was like trying not to cry, but he's telling this patient that quite literally you had a broken heart. And then that's when he blinks.
Because he's like trying not to cry.
I know, because he has a broken heart.
I like really felt something for Burke at the end of the episode, because I haven't really liked Burke.
Right,
not yet. I don't mind him, but I'm not really invested in him.
Right.
And I think he's like pretty stoic and kind of annoying.
Right.
And this ending scene here was like, oh, God, he just found out that the person that he probably cares about but, like, ended it with because he felt like he shouldn't be doing it, they just lost a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. And he didn't know about it.
Right, right. Which I like, too, that I feel like his first reaction is an anger.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Because it could have been.
Yeah, he could have been pissed that she didn't tell him.
Yeah.
Also, we should now go to such a Mare Dare moment.
Such a Mare Dare moment.
Like,
last scene, it's raining again.
Always raining.
Yep, when they're talking together.
Yep, never getting wet, just always raining.
Yep.
And I wrote, we've all been there on that bench when you, like, are having a shit day and you go, it's like, okay, and this is how I interpret it. You go when you want, you go alone, and you just, like, lose it, and you start crying. But also there's a part of you that hopes someone sees you.
Yes.
Like, I know I used to do that a lot when I was little, I think. Like,
yeah.
At recess, I would, like, go and cry and be dramatic, because I loved the, which they said it in the end, there's something about falling that you're,
oh, I will say this at the end,
yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, but like you want someone to see you kind of, and I doubt that's what Meredith is doing, but like that reminded me of the times I've gone and cried in a corner.
Oh yeah, you want people to see you and know your pain and your like, and like reach out for you,
right?
But she ends up saying to him that she's just exhausted. And I love that line, because there have been times I've called my mom on the phone. Like, there's been some, recently actually, there's been this transition at work and it's been really hard. And I found out my cat got kicked out of my apartment, and I called my mom and I had to ask her to take my cat. And I started out really like, hey mom, I like have to ask you a favor. And the minute I started talking about what was going on, I lost it. I was in hysterics, and I was just like, I'm just exhausted. Like, I'm emotionally drained right now. And like, that is what Meredith is feeling, where it's just all bubbles up and you have nowhere else for it to go except for on the most inappropriate person, Derek Shepherd.
Right. And not only does she tell him that, but she also said, and the most exhausting thing is hating you.
Yes.
And then what does she say? Like,
I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, and then she
fucking kisses him.
He was kissed by both women
in the same day. What do you do with that? Two beautiful, strong women.
Meredith
didn't look a lot that very strong in that moment, but she is strong.
And I feel like he likes both of them.
He does. Well, he's married to one of them.
Yeah.
Has spent many years.
Right. And so I just don't know what he does with that either. Like,
I mean, this episode sets up for, like, shit is about to go down in this season. Because, and they're going to do the long play about, like, what is going to happen.
Yeah, I feel like it's, like, season 5.
Yeah, well, it will be season 2. I remember being, irritated with the choices that happen.
Right.
But, like, oh, God, is it worth
it? It's so good.
So much drama. The last scene is all, like, Bert kind of decides to come, like, rushing to Christina's room, and then it turns out all of the interns are, and even Alex, they're all standing around Christina's bed, and the last line is, the upside to free falling is you give your friends the chance to catch you, which I feel like there have been a lot of, like, monologue moments of, like, we want more and this and that, but this was such a good one about, like, all of us friends are gonna stick together and be by each other's side,
right?
And we saw them all as, like, everyone learned a lot of intimate secrets in this episode, and then all of them were there for each other.
You're right, because Meredith, they all learned about her mom. Christina, they all learned about that. Kind of Izzy and Alex, they learned that they like each other,
and they were all with each other,
and poor George just
to catch each other at the end. I love that. Because that's what life is about, is your fucking friends.
Right. I loved this episode. It was, like, everything I love in Grey's. Like, I like to cry. I like to laugh.
And it was it was everything you love about, like, based on the main characters.
Right, which is the best part of the show.
Yeah, and you love that. Dude, this was such a good episode. I feel like I could continue to do, like, 4 more podcasts on this episode.
Exactly.
But we don't have to.
And when we rate it, when it comes time, we might... Well... Just so everyone knows for the future, our scale might just...
It might change. It might tip.
It might just change. Because we were a little too generous on season 1.
Yeah, we were sitting watching season 2 and we're like... Or this episode, season... Or episode 3 today of season 2. And we were like, season 1 kind of sucked.
No, I would have gone back and rate those like a 2.
Yeah.
Like definitely not a 3.7. What am I rated a 4? What was I thinking?
Yeah, I don't know.
We just didn't know what we had in store.
No, I think we just forgot.
And the song, if anyone wonders, that I was obsessed with is called Ruby Blue by Royce and Murphy. And
it's a great song.
So catchy.
Look it up. Do you want to do notes and trivia?
Yeah. So,
I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, we hit every one of my things.
Mine too.
My favorite character in this one was Bailey.
Really?
I just love her.
I think I might have to agree with you.
I identify the most with Meredith.
I think Bailey might have been my favorite with how she handled Christina. I do like what we saw with Burke at the end, with how he responded to Christina. I don't think he was my favorite, but I'm happy that we saw that side of Burke.
Yeah, and I feel like we can all relate to the I'm just exhausted.
Yeah,
like, that
oh
was
my
most
God.
Relatable. I've had that happen multiple times lately.
Yeah, like I said, like 2 weeks ago that happened to me.
Which, like, I laughed. I feel like when we before we record these, we hang out and we bitch to each other about things that have happened. Yeah. And I feel like it's good to get those things out, and I feel like it's good, like this, they talked about they were going to cry, and we just, foreshadowing in the beginning, like we knew they were going to let it out somehow, so to be continued.
Ooh.
So there's two goofs.
I don't know. Oh, I love goofs.
When Addison and Derek are in the room with the premature baby addicted to narcotics, she is listing options for her and Derek's relationship. The chair that Derek is sitting on has a blanket over it and changes position throughout the scene many times.
I noticed the blanket, but I didn't realize it changed.
They must have had to do that scene a lot.
Yeah.
And goof. The surgery board has a circled R indicating the removal of the right fallopian tube and ovary. In the next scene, Bailey explains seeing they had to remove her left fallopian tube. I didn't remember them saying left.
I don't remember that either.
Who knows? These could all be not real, also.
Yeah.
These are
everyone, all Wikipedia. Everyone, look it up. Double check.
It doesn't say what the song was named after, but...
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
Or you mean the title?
Oh, no. Eric Carmen is the... I don't know. Make Me Lose Control. So
are all of all the season's song titles? Because this is season two.
Yeah, so far.
Wow.
I think it's more like she's like, okay, this episode's going to be about losing control. And then she Googles.
Well, yeah, no. I just
wonder what comes first, the song title or the episode. Probably the episode.
Probably the episode.
There's probably someone that's hired, literally, just to name the episode.
Well, there are also people who are just hired for, like, putting music in and stuff. So it wouldn't surprise me if someone was like, okay, this episode is about this. I'm going to find a song title.
The only episode stills, like the photos that they include, like stills from the episode, are of Bailey and Christina.
Oh, such a good scene.
All right. I want you
to rate it first. Because I always rate it first.
I know, because I like to judge my ratings based off others.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember what my highest one is.
I think our highest
one... What was last week?
Well, I rated, like, the first one a 4.75, and then we were like, no, and I put it down to a 4.5. Like, the first episode of this. And that was too... That was too high.
What was last week? That one was pretty
high. Last week, you did not like it. I think we did 3.75.
You're right, because I watched... Yeah. I'm honestly probably... I wish it was out of 10 now, but no, I would give it...
Why don't we change it to 10?
Okay, 10.
Let's just... Guys, we're changing the scale.
We're starting over.
Yeah. So...
10 scalpels it's out of.
Yeah.
10 being like, I know which episode to me is a 10. So this one is probably... Is a 7 too high?
No.
I cried twice. 7.
Because I was going to say 7 scalpels.
Yeah. I'm on board with that.
7 scalpels.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
I love it. We love you.
I was pleased with this.
So, anyways, I am excited for the rest because it's clearly a good episode.
Yeah. Do we have any news or anything? No, I
just want to make sure everyone knows that, I should say this in the beginning, but make sure you check out our Facebook listener group. We have a good discussion going in there, and it's just like a good way to see when new episodes are posted. It is the On-Call Room Listener Squad on Facebook. If you just Google that, you'll find it. Also, an easier way is if you go to our Instagram, which is at the On-Call Room Pod. There's a link to it in the profile. And please leave us a review. We have, like, a great amount right now, but that's the only way that this podcast will get out to other people. So it takes, like, 5 seconds. Just go in there, click write a review, write. It can even be, like, a short little thing. Give us a rating of scalpels.
Yeah, give us a rating of scalpels and just be like, this was cool.
Yeah, period. Yeah. Done. We'd love it. And,
make sure to follow us on Instagram. We like to post stories and stuff about doing stupid shit and roaming around, and you'll see our lives and what we do. I actually accidentally, on the 4th of July, I was, like, doing, a drive-by of a bayou I was on, and I thought I was on my own personal Instagram. Turns out I was on the On-Call Room, but then I was like, fuck it.
I'm gonna leave it there.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave it there because I want all the peeps to see it. I was not with Abby, though. But it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. We have separate lives.
We separate sometimes. but... Thanks for listening.
Thanks to Consumers Energy for energy in this house.
Yeah.
Not at mine. And I'm going to go turn the fan on now.
Yeah, everyone stay cool. Drink some wine. Eat a popsicle.
Peace out. Oh, my God. Time of death.
Oh, shit. I want to call time of death. I haven't called it in a while.
Do you want me to tell you what the number is? It is 12 plus 7.
Shit, what's that?
No, 19. Hold on. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Time of death. 1903.